Well, at this time of the year, you tend to see a lot of things that look like this. I just noticed this under AJ's chair here. I said, I can use that as soon as I stand up there. Valentine's Day coming up on Tuesday. And when you have kids, you really start to remember back. Yesterday I was looking through our basket. We have the basket in the house where everything goes that's any kind of paperwork or anything that comes into our house. Well, I was looking through the basket trying to see what all I needed to put on my calendar or wherever. And I noticed two lists. And it was the names of every child in Anna's class at school that their teacher, I suppose, had sent home. And then there was the list of Christian's class, my youngest boy, and every name of everybody in his class. And you know what that's for, coming up on Tuesday. So you can get your Valentines out. Send a Valentine to everybody. Well, I remember that from elementary school. I used to love getting those Valentines and giving those Valentines. And you remember all the heart candy? It's still around. Be Mine, Sweetheart. All those candies. It's all about love. It's all about love. But you know, Valentine's Day is nothing compared to the love that God has for you and for me. Let Valentine's Day remind you that Be Mine, that's Him giving you that little candy heart. That's His desire. God wants you to be His Valentine. God is after you. And it doesn't matter how far you've strayed away from Him. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. God is in pursuit of you. He is wooing you with His love. He loves you with an unconditional, infinite, unfailing, enduring love that you can't even comprehend, you can't even imagine it. And He's saying, be mine, be mine, be mine. God tells us in 1 John 4:19 that the only way we can love, the only way you can love other people is because of His love. That verse tells us, we love because He first loved us. You see, that incredible love that you can't comprehend, it only comes from Him. And He sends it to you. And when you receive it, and when you have it, and when you get love by Him, and you give your life to Him, and you repent of your sins, and you turn to Him, and you accept His gift that He has for you, of this unfailing love, of complete forgiveness for everything. When you accept it, He gives you His love, and then you can begin to truly love, to truly love others. You can actually love others with His love. We love because He first loved us. And in Jeremiah 31:3, God tells you this, and me as well. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Hear God say that to you this morning. And as Chris mentioned earlier, if you want the best picture of His love, Jesus was God made flesh. Jesus was God who left heaven and came here to earth to take care of all the wrong that you've ever done and the sins you haven't even committed yet. He came to take your punishment. And if you'll just imagine for a moment His face in agony with blood dripping down everywhere, If you'll imagine a crown of thorns in his head that the soldiers mocking him said, "Oh yeah, you're a king, you're the king of the Jews. Get him a crown, get some of those thorns, let's make a crown." Made him that crown, put that on his head. "Oh, hail, king of the Jews." They got their staff, they beat him over the head with it. Had that crown of thorns. The thorns were, they were probably about that long. Bam, hit him on the head. Just let those thorns drive in that skull. Imagine his bloody face dripping down. And that's just one little thing that they did to him. And not to mention as after he was nailed to the cross and they rose it up and set it in place. As he dripped his blood for you. But just like Chris said, those arms were open wide. They were open as wide as they could be. Because that's a picture of God saying, "This is how much I love you. You see what I'm going through? This is for you. It's for you. It's for you." You are loved. So what now? So what now? You are loved. So what now? Here's what to do now. Love. You love. You are loved. So what now? Love. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13 with me. And let's learn about God's love. Let's learn how to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're new at this, you open your Bible, you turn to the right a little bit. You see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You'll see Romans. Just keep flipping a little bit later. You'll see 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's a Bible beside you, beside your chair if you don't have one. 1 Corinthians 13, God tells us this. "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." You are loved. So what now? Love. Love. Why? That's the first question. That's the first thing we want to consider. So I'm supposed to love. Why? Love. Why? We see that in the first three verses. Because, imagine this. Imagine yourself as a great speaker and a great teacher. Let's say God just gifted you that way. And you're a fantastic speaker and teacher. Somebody could be a great preacher. Maybe they're a pastor and they're a great preacher. And then you imagine that person has also been given gifts of prophecy and knowledge. In other words, they just speak right from God. They know God's heart and the messages that come through, they're speaking from God and they have knowledge. Imagine that they know God's will. They know what God desires. And then they even have a faith that moves mountains. Their faith is so strong, people just go to them. Would you please pray about this? They have a faith that can move mountains. And then, let's say they get this call to go to this remote area of Africa. And they head out and they sell all that they have. And they give everything that they have to the poor. All those proceeds from all that they had. And then they gave it all away to the poor. And then they left to Africa to go to this remote place in Africa. And then it was a hostile place. And they shared the gospel. And they shared Jesus. But then one day the hostility of the tribe was too much and they came against this person and then they tied them to a stake and then they lit them on fire and they burned them at the stake. And the person was martyred. They died in those flames. And then, can you imagine after all of that? After all of that, can you imagine that God could say to that person, "You were nothing more than a resounding gong. You were a clanging cymbal. You were annoying to me. You sounded so annoying. You are nothing. You're nothing for my kingdom. You gain nothing." Can you imagine that? But in these first three verses here, God says that, read it again. God says that without love, that if you did all those wonderful things for the Lord without love, that would be His evaluation of you. It's all about love. Love is the foundation. Love is what it's all about. If you did all those things without love, it would be nothing in God's sight. That's what he says in those verses. It's the foundation for any worship. And you see the Apostle Paul here, he's teaching about worship in these last few chapters. He's teaching about worship, how to worship the Lord. And in the last couple of chapters, he's been talking about gifts, that God gives people spiritual gifts, and He gives them all kinds of gifts that He wants you to use in the body of Christ, in the church, and use all these gifts. But what is he saying in 1 Corinthians 13, this whole chapter? He's saying, but listen, it's all in love. Love is the foundation of it all. These gifts are of no value. They don't do any good for the kingdom of God unless they're done in love. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. He's saying, whatever you do, let it be from love. Let it be from love. Love is the foundation. In Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14, we see the importance of this. God says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Verse 14. "And over all these virtues," over everything that was just mentioned, "over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Above all else, you put on love. Love is so important. I'll never forget in my ordination sermon when I was ordained, Jay Wolf preached my ordination service and he gave a charge to me as a minister. Here was the charge. And it was so much about love. I don't have time. I could tell you all the points. I rattle them off almost every day. But about three of them deal with love. Help Derek to love, love, love. We know how important it is to God. It's the greatest commandment. We looked at earlier, God is love. And then if you want to please Him, He said the greatest thing you can do, the greatest commandment in the whole Bible is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then the second greatest commandment, Jesus added, if you want to know the second greatest commandment, is love your neighbor as yourself. It's so important to God. It's what it's all about. It's the foundation. And so let me ask you, is it your foundation? Is it your foundation for everything you do, say, and think? Is it all because of love? Well, it needs to be valuable to God. It needs to all be in love. Do you have love or do you have duty? Are you doing a lot of things for the Lord and a lot of work in the church and all that because somebody asked you to on a nominating committee? Or because of love for Jesus and for those that He's entrusted you with? Well, how? You are loved. What now? Love. Love why? We just went over that. Also, love how? How? How do I love? How do I do it? Let's get practical here. Look at verses 4 through 7 and you'll find the greatest definition of love that there is. And how to love. Just focus on verses 4 through 7. There's a picture of love. There is the definition of love. Love is patient. Just do a little self-evaluation here. Do a little self-evaluation. I need to do it myself. Love is patient. You think about being in traffic. Are you loving that driver that just cuts you off? Are you patient? Love is kind. I think about this when with siblings, you know, children. Certainly not my children. But children, you know, siblings. Are they always kind to each other? Just think about that. Kindness. Love is kind. It does not envy. Are you envious of anybody? Are you jealous of anybody? Do you ever get jealous? You're not loving. That's not love. It does not boast. I was at John Allen's soccer game on Monday night in the indoor place that they have over off of Bell Road, and he was playing his game, and I was sitting a few rows back in the bleachers and noticed these two little boys about three rows in front of me, and this one blonde little boy, they were both probably about 8 years old, little Arab boy was on the right, and this little blonde-headed boy was on the left. That little blonde-headed boy, he was saying, you know, if I was out there right now, I would dominate. I would dominate. I mean, it would just be over for everybody. And if you play me, I would dominate. Yeah. I didn't ask his permission. He didn't know I was going to use this. But he may have been bragging a little bit. He may have been bragging. Love does not boast. It does not brag. Do you ever brag? Is that little boy ever you? It is not proud. I'm a self-made man. I did everything. Everything I've got, I worked hard and I earned it. It is not proud. I am self-sufficient. I can handle everything myself. I do all right just by myself. I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. It is not proud. Or I'm better. Even the thought in the heart, I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. I'm better than that person. Those comparisons. It is not proud. That's not love. It is not rude. Go figure on this one. You ever hear any rudeness around you? You ever rude to anybody? Watch out. That's not love. Maybe you've been rude to somebody. Maybe you need to go and say, I'm sorry, I was rude. That was rude. I didn't say anything wrong or do anything wrong or anything like that. But just my attitude, the way I said that to you, I was rude. And that was not love. And God's command is to love. And so if I do not love, if I do not obey Him, I sin. So I have just sinned against you by being just the slightest bit rude to you. That waitress that messed up, spilled your drink in your lap. Were you rude or did you love? Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. It does not focus on myself. How am I doing? Am I all about self? Am I all about thinking about me? And that can be dangerous. I can even not be pleased with myself. And so I can be trying to make myself better and become a better person. And But I'm self-seeking. And it seems like it'd be good. Well, I want to become a better person for Jesus, so I'll just focus on myself. It seems like a good thing, but I'm self-seeking, aren't I? I'm thinking all about me. Where does my focus need to be? On Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He'll make me better. I just need to keep my focus on Him. Love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Do you have a short fuse? Are you known as somebody? Do you characterize yourself like that? You say, I got a short temper. Been hearing it all my life. Everybody knows it. I even just declare it. I got a short fuse. Well, love, that's not loving. Love is not easily angered. I used to have a pretty short fuse. I did. It's gotten a good bit longer now. I still have a fuse. But it's gotten a good bit longer. I remember my dad beat me in ping pong one time when I was younger and I kicked a hole in the wall. I had a short fuse. But it's longer now. Why? Not because anything I'm doing, not because I'm working on myself, because Jesus. He's changing me. He's working on me. He's working on me. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Okay, all you people out there with your spouses or those you love with that pen and paper and that clipboard, keeping records of the things people have done wrong against you, remembering it, refusing to forget it so maybe you can bring it up again sometime later, might be some ammo for you. That's not love. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't bring it back up again once it's been dealt with. Love forgives. Love forgives. God says about your sins, their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. He's forgiven you. He says, I won't even remember it anymore. You hold records against people or you do what He does for you? Do you forgive? And I'm just going to refuse to remember it anymore. Love always protects. It does not delight in evil. You have a secret sin that you're delighting in. You really haven't quite acknowledged it as sin yet. You just kind of hold on to that one. You just kind of like that one. You're just kind of comfortable with that one. Is there a secret sin? This reminds me of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings that he wrote, and they made the movies out of him. And if you've ever seen the movie or read the book, there's this character, Gollum, that he holds the ring, that everybody is seeking this ring. And when he holds it, he says, oh, my precious. He's an ugly little fella. He says, oh, my precious, my precious, my precious. You know, you become an ugly little fella when you hold on to some sin, saying, my precious, I'm not going to let this one go yet. It always protects. Who are you protecting? You're loving when you're protecting. Who do you protect? Who do you do the opposite of? Who do you enable? You think you're protecting them. You think you're helping them. But you're hurting them. You're enabling them. That's not protection. That's the opposite. It always protects. It always trusts. It always trusts. It'll give that second chance. Give me another chance. I know I blew it. God's given you how many other chances? Jesus said, forgive them 70 times 7. How many times should we forgive them, Lord, when they keep on doing the same thing against us? 70 times 7. It rejoices with the truth. Love hopes. It perseveres. It endures. Well, I hope you've thought about yourself as we've gone through that definition of love. I hope you've done a self-evaluation. Well, how are you doing? How are you doing loving? How are you doing loving God? You know, first to Him. How are you doing in all those areas? It'd be good, it'd be wise of you to go back tonight, maybe right before bed, or go back sometime this afternoon and go through that list and ask the Lord, how am I doing with this one? Patient, kindness, faithfulness, gentle, Oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing the fruits of the Spirit. But go back to this list. God, how am I doing in these areas? Let Him evaluate you. And then the ones that He points out, oh, you need more love here. You need more love here. Pray. Pray. Pray all next week about those things. Pray all week. Write them down. Just daily. Put them somewhere you'll see them and pray daily. Lord, help me in these areas. I want to be loving in these areas. I'm not loving in these areas. How are you doing? Loving God and then loving others. If this is the definition of love. Now the good news that, do you think it's His will that you love in this way? You think that's God's will for you? Yeah, go figure. Yeah, okay, I think that's His will for you. Have you ever discovered the wonder of 1 John 5:14? Let me read 1 John 5:14 to you. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Go meditate on that verse. Simply put, that verse is saying, if you ask anything according to God's will, it's yours. He'll give it to you. So is it His will that you love this way? You've already said, yeah, of course it is. That's why I'm saying, let Him evaluate you. Pray about those areas. Say, God, I want to love. I want to get better at love in these areas. And finally, love fully. Love fully. We see that in verses 8 to 13, that love endures. Love is perfect. It's unfailing. It will not fail. It'll never fail. Proverbs, God tells us in Proverbs that love covers over a multitude of sins. God's love endures forever. It is unconditional. Turn to Psalm 136 sometime. Read that tonight. Psalm 136 says phrase after phrase, His love endures forever. In the NIV, it says, His love endures forever. And then God will say something. His love endures forever. God will say something. His love endures forever. There's no telling how many times it says that in that psalm. His love is enduring for you and towards you. It endures forever. And God tells us in His Word that He demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, you don't have to clean yourself up to come to Christ. You don't have to work on yourself and make yourself clean and pure, and then you follow Jesus. He's the cleansing agent. You come to Him as you are. That's what the cross is all about. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, you hadn't even been born yet, but God knew every sin that you've already committed your whole life through, and every sin that you will commit until the day you die. He knew it all. It was all on His mind. He knew the worst thing that you've ever done or ever will do. He knew it all. And while that was all on His mind, He took your punishment for you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated His love for us in that. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for love. Lord, we thank You for Your love for each one here. And Lord, we know that we cannot love, we cannot truly love with Your love until we have accepted Your gift of love, until we have accepted what You have done for us on that cross, until we have understood that. So, Lord, if there's anybody here today who has not yet accepted Your gift of love, and they want that ability to love, Lord, would You help them right now to call out to You saying, Lord, I know I've sinned against You. I know I'm a sinner. I thank You that You took my punishment. The punishment I know is death and hell. And I thank You that You went to the cross and You paid for all my sins. I thank You that You're raised from the dead. I believe that. And I call on You right now, Jesus, and I ask You to save me from my sins. Come into my life. Give me a new life. I want to follow You, Jesus. Give me a new heart. Lord, I thank You that for anybody who just prayed that for the first time with a sincere heart, that You have done that. And Lord, would you help them? Would you, in just a moment, as Chris leads us in this song, Lord, would you prompt them? Would you move them up out of their seat to walk down this aisle and to make that public and to let everybody know that they've trusted you? Lord, there are some here today that have felt your love today. Lord, they saw the value of Bible study. They went to a Bible study group and there was a group that embraced them, that loved them, that will pray for them. And Lord, maybe they hadn't had that in a long time. Lord, but maybe they've been loved here this morning. Maybe they felt that love and they sensed that love in a tangible way as they ate those wonderful eggs and bacon and sausage and saw your people smiling them around them. Lord, help them to know that that was you, Jesus. That was you that was loving them. And Lord, if they need this to be their church home, Lord, as Chris leads us in this song, move them out of their seat. Help them to walk down this aisle and say, I need to join this church. This is my church. And Lord, for everybody else, whatever you're doing in our lives, whatever decision we're facing, may we choose you. May we do whatever you tell us to do. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As Chris leads us in this song, you make your way down here if there's a decision you need to make.